Good morning. It is now September in the famous year of 2020, or maybe we should say the infamous year of 2020. But regardless, it's going to be a year that all of us will remember for a long time. And like everyone, I'm trying to figure out what's ahead. I know that there's some ministry trips that I need to make, but you know what? It's all uncertain at this point. Where to meet as a church is uncertain. Or will we be going back online? That's a possibility. We just don't know. Church events like retreats, Christmas Eve service. What about house churches? All that is just uncertain. It's just hard to plan anything, isn't it? And there's so many things like that. And I know it's not just me. Probably each of you probably have things that you want to do or you're planning to do, and you just can't do it. Now, I've read a lot from a lot of different perspectives, and really nothing is clear as to the future. Also, you talk about uncertainty. There's, you know, the next 10 weeks or so is going to be, the election. And I have a feeling that's going to be very difficult, disturbing, and confusing. In English, we say there could be a lot of mudslinging. I mean, actually, there might be more like stones and bricks being, you know, thrown at each other. And from what I can tell, and maybe I'm wrong, we're going to be going through some very difficult times, probably for another 6 to 10 months. We don't know, but that's just what a lot of people are saying. There's the coronavirus. And by the way, I heard just this weekend that the latest projections are that before January 1st, we could have 410,000 deaths in this country. That's over double. And I can remember where they thought, oh, we'll never reach 10,000 deaths. Oh, we'll never reach 25 or 50,000. But it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Then there's the economy. There's still a lot of people, not so much here in Summit County, thank the Lord, but a lot of places there's still a large number of people unemployed. And some people are saying the economy is going to get a lot worse before it gets better. We just don't know. And then the third big thing is just this political polarization where people are so upset and angry with one another. That's very disturbing. And now the anger has gone to hate, violence, anxiety, fear. There's almost a new shooting every week that's related to someone just being angry at someone at the other side. And by the way, those three things don't even include the increase in natural disasters, things like hurricanes and floods and wildfires and earthquakes. So if things are going to even get worse, what does this all mean for us? First, it doesn't mean that God has left us or abandoned us. And it doesn't mean that these next 6 to 10 months or whatever are going to be wasted. Let me repeat that. It doesn't mean that God has left us or abandoned us. And it doesn't mean that these next 6 to 10 months are going to be wasted. Yes, it may mean some continued inconveniences, maybe even more so. It may mean our normal patterns of meeting and fellowship and the things that we do as a church will be changed. It may mean that we're going to see a further collapse of the things that we've trusted in the past, you know, the institutions, the government, the economy, as we've known it. But what should be our response as Christians and as a church? Get mad, angry, hit the streets? No. Cling to conspiracy theories? After all, that's a good way to just kind of blame somebody else or something else. No. Get angry at God? Withdraw from Him? This isn't the way I planned it, God. No. No, none of these things. We look for how God is going to use this in my life, in the life of our church, Emmanuel Fellowship, and in the world. We have to, we must adapt or adopt that position. So I want us to look this morning at Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. And I think this is a great passage for the next 10 weeks or so, or really for the next year probably. Let me read it. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Okay, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. That's the exhortation that God gives us. I mean, amazing. I mean, he says, for nothing should we be anxious for. And, you know, very frankly, that requires being tuned into the Lord and his word, doesn't it? Anxiety leads to taking things into our own hands. And when we do that, we basically take it out of God's hands. And that's always a wrong move. It leads to frustration. It leads to bitterness, resentment, and it can even lead to despair. It can lead to fear. It robs us of living for him and serving him. And that's why the enemy wants us to be anxious. We lose our peace, the peace of God. And then everything else begins to kind of crumble. But it says, what does it say here in verse 6? Rather, we need to keep in prayer, keep in supplication. In everything, it says. And with thanksgiving. I like that. With thanksgiving. I mean, actually, if you look at the beginning of, actually just a few verses above that, the chapter is exhorting us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And here he's saying, give thanks in everything. And that's very important. And then in verse 7, it says, and if we're doing this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. I like that. The peace of God. I mean, this is amazing. The peace of God, by the way, is not our peace. It's not something that we make up, but it's God's peace. It's kind of like, you know, his joy, his love. That's what God wants us to experience. And it says here, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. In other words, we can't figure it out. It's supernatural. We'll guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I like that. You know, it will guard our hearts. It'll guard our minds. The peace of God. And so the question we have to ask ourselves, which is it? Is it going to be, are we going to choose the peace of God? Or are we going to choose anxiety? It's actually a choice that we make. And if we don't let the peace of God reign in our lives, especially in turbulent times like this, we will sink into anxiety and then onto the road of despair. And then verse 8, and this is the verse I really want us to look at. It says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. You know, think about that. Whatever is true. By the way, there's a lot of things out there today that aren't true. You know, and just because it's online doesn't mean it's true. But it says here, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, excellence, and anything worth of praise, that's what we're to dwell on. That's where our mind, our heart, our focus has to be. That's where we want to live. That's where we want to dwell. And by the way, this is a great checklist for us. You know, think about the things that we get obsessed with or the things that we just continually dwell on. And then take it to verse 8 here. And we ask, is it true? Well, no, not really. Okay, is it lovely? Is it of good repute? Is it full of excellence? Is it pure? Is it right? Is it honorable? And you might be thinking right now, well, that probably gets rid of most of the stuff I think about. Well, maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe our minds need to be renewed. But this is pretty clear. Our minds are to dwell on these things. So if we're getting angry about something, we start going through that checklist. Nope, it's not going to work. Or if we're dreaming of how we're going to make more money and what we're going to spend it on and all that, we take it to the checklist. It's not going to make it. Or if we are rehearsing conversations in our mind about maybe things that we'd like to say, is it pure? Is it true? Is it lovely? Well, no, not really. Then don't dwell on those things. Fantasizing. Is it true? Well, right away, you cross that out with the first one. It's not true. And so we've got to change our way of thinking. And I believe that's one of the things that God is asking us. In fact, he's requiring us to do in this time of turbulent times. And it's going to get, it's probably going to get worse. I may be wrong. And so we've got to decide to choose not to be anxious, to take everything to prayer with thanksgiving. We're going to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We're going to we're going to let it guard our hearts and our minds, because those are two precious things that the world and the kingdom of darkness wants to invade our minds and our hearts. But the peace of God, which is the opposite of anxiety, keeps us from that. And we need to make a commitment to dwell on these 8 things here that are mentioned. And if things do get bad from a human perspective, we choose to look at things from God's perspective, because his perspective is always what? True, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, all those things. And we choose to, and so we choose to dwell on these things. We choose not to dwell on all that's going to drag us down or drag us into anxiety, bitterness, and fear. It's really a choice, brothers and sisters, that we make. And we make it every day, every hour. And one of the things I want to exhort us in these months ahead is, let's make a commitment to really dwell on the things that we're told here in Philippians 4. Now, let's kind of take some examples of things that could happen. And by the way, these are possibilities. I'm not saying they will, that we want them, but there are possibilities. Let's say, let's kind of talk about Emmanuel Fellowship. Let's say we go back to online meetings. Well, how could that be good? Well, maybe the Lord wants to take us from being spoon-fed to taking more responsibility and hearing his word. Now, being spoon-fed, that's a expression we use in English. It comes from, as a baby first begins to eat, what do? We take the spoon and we kind of feed the baby spoon by spoon. But you know what? By the time they're 5 or 6 years old, certainly way before that, they should be feeding themselves, right? At first, it's a little bit messy. Anyone who's had children or grandchildren know that. You know, they half the time they don't make their mouths. Or, you know, the spoon is upside down when they kind of get food. You've seen it. Almost all of us have, you know. But that's necessary for us to learn to, and let's go back to spiritually here, to hear God for ourselves. And so there could be some divine purpose for God wanting to do that. It may mean we're taking more responsibility to hear and watch the message online more than once, maybe a couple times, to look up verses, to pray over it. Same thing with house churches. But the important thing, we will not see that as a setback, we will see it as an opportunity to grow, to study. So you see what we're talking about? We're talking about changing our perspective from God's perspective and not just what we want. Another example, let's say if things in our country get more violent and more polarized and more hateful, let's say America starts going into decline. You think, well, that would be horrible. Well, yes, but according to the scriptures, all nations will be shaken and even crumble before his coming. And our allegiance will be more and more to the kingdom of God. And what will happen is the world will become more hungry for spiritual truth, something that is eternal, something that they can trust in. And you know what? That would be good. Now, I'm not saying these things are going to happen. I'm just saying that no matter what happens, God is in control. And from his perspective, he may be doing things that we don't like, but it serves his purpose. Or what if the economy sinks or tanks? What if my job, my income, what if my financial plan for the future is affected? Well, that wouldn't be fun, would it? But it would give us the opportunity to trust in his, what, supernatural provision like never before. So like Elijah did. Remember when Elijah called for the drought for 7 years? Well, you know, he got affected too. But he trusted God. And remember what happened? God had a bunch of ravens bring him food every day for a number of years. And then God changed and his provision was something else. That is something that God may be wanting to teach us for these last days. And if so, that's okay. Now, we don't know what's going to happen or when things are going to happen, but we do know that God will use all things to further his purposes and that there's no reason for anxiety. And we do know from Hebrews 12 that there is going to be a great shaking coming to the earth, and it's going to be shaking the nations. So let's go back to Philippians 4, 6 through 8 again. I want to read it again and think about it in light of where we are in the world today or in this country. Be anxious for nothing. Wow. If we just got that down, that would be great. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. In other words, take it to him and leave it with him. Then it says, and I think the reason there's that and is because if we do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then finally, brethren, I like that. Finally, in other words, this is what he's really leading up to. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell or live or abide on those things. That should be the diet of our thought life, of where we put our emotional energy. Can we make this commitment to live this way, not to be anxious? And you know what? The way it implies it's the decision we make. In everything, pray and make supplication to him with thanksgiving. Let the peace of God guard your hearts and your minds, and then dwell on these things. Let our focus every day be on him and these particular things. It's not going to happen overnight, but God is calling us to begin to renew our minds. A lot of it is God's word, abiding in him, which we talked about a good bit of the summer. But this is our calling. And we will rise above what's happening and that will be happening. And then we can become the light that this dark world needs. The year 2020, how will we remember it? Is a bad, bad year? Or a year that God does something deep and amazing and beautiful in us. I believe that's what God's plan is for us. Psalm 118, verse 24, it's not on the screen here. A lot of you probably know it. It says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." But you know what? You could probably also say, "This is the year that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Can we do that? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that your perspective is so much bigger than ours. And Lord, that if your plan is for us to continue to go through a difficult year, difficult days, in fact, even if it gets worse, Lord, there's a purpose for that. And Lord, we want to embrace that. In fact, Lord, if you allow us to go through things that we feel like, oh, that can't be good, show us how it's actually an opportunity to learn, to trust, learn to seek you more. Lord, it could be a lot of different things. Lord, give us that perspective. Lord, let these verses be our verses in the months to come, where we are not allowing ourselves to be dragged into anxiety and bitterness and resentment and despair. But rather, Lord, we're taking everything to you in prayer, in supplication, and with thanksgiving. Lord, let us learn how to live in your peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that will guard our hearts and minds. And then, Lord, we ask especially that you would begin to teach us how we can dwell on the things that are what? That are right, lovely, pure, honorable, true, of good repute, the things that are excellent, the things that are worthy of praise. We ask that now in Jesus' name. Amen.